The Ain't No Fang Podcast. From Arizona Sports, Ain't No Fang.
Well, it certainly is a dark time in the Arizona Diamondbacks history. I'm Steve Zinsmeister. Alongside me is Cody Fincher and also Derek Montilla on the Ain't No Fang Podcast. Boys, I don't remember a time where I felt less confident in the Arizona Diamondbacks. Currently, where they sit is completely out of playoff contention, but also 1-9 in their last 10. I think 2-18.
2-18 in their last 20, Steve.
Oh.
2-18.
Oh, it's
even
so
when they're
bad.
Up by 5, they lose.
Yep.
Even when they're up by 6, they lose those too. It doesn't matter. It's been really hard to watch. I think back to when Mike Hazen sent out an email to Arizona Diamondbacks fans and ticket holders, basically waving the white flag. This was after all of those trades occurred. I believe it was the same day. And Mike Hazen sent out a very somber email that seemed to upset particularly one Nick Ahmed, who had some very harsh words for Mike Hazen. But it appears that Mike Hazen might have been a little bit more right than Nick Ahmed was. I understand how demoralizing that must have been for the team and those trades in general, how demoralizing they must have been. But I think that also as a player, there's a point where you have to look at what's going on and have that same kind of attitude that management does. Yes, you still have to go out there and play. And yes, I understand still wanting to be competitive. But this is it. This is a situation where, like you said, Steve, it's probably the second time where we've had a complete lack of hope. At least this time, the Diamondbacks definitely have more on the horizon for the future than they did, let's say, pre-Greinke trade last season or even before that, when there was a time that things looked pretty bleak. Their farm system didn't look very good, but they at least now have that rebuilt farm system, and they have a lot of young players in it that, you know, have kind of had some experience trial by fire this season with the lack of depth and the need to call guys up.
Yeah,
I don't know what to say other than at least the future still looks a little bright for them, but the present, including the near future, not so much.
I didn't get one of those letters from Mike Hazen. Did you guys get,
oh, you didn't?
Did you guys
get
those? No.
I got the email.
Was that for the media or was that for season
It was for everybody.
Holders?
What was funny about it was my brother-in-law and one of my friends, we were all talking on, we play a lot of video games, so we were in a video game chat, and they're like, I just got a letter from Mike Hazen, an email from Mike Hazen. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. Like, and mm-hmm. my brother-in-law doesn't even like the Diamondbacks.
Right.
He's an Indians fan.
You're like, I want one.
Yeah, and I'm like, where's mine?
Well, where's mine?
Where's mine?
My letter?
I'm in the media, and I'm a huge fan of your team. Where's my letter?
Listen,
but,
it's
bad, man.
It doesn't feel good to watch Diamondbacks baseball right now.
Oh, it sucks watching it. It's so hard.
But to Derek's point, it almost is, and I'm not saying that he should be celebrating this, but it's almost like Mike Hazen was justified in every move that he made, because he looked at this team, he and his front office looked at this team and evaluated, even with the talent that they had, and I'm talking about Archie, I'm talking about Starling Marte, mm-hmm. not as much Robbie Ray and Andrew Chafin, but he looked at this team and he said, you know what, even with these guys, even if we turn some things around, we're still five games under 500 at the time or
something like that.
And he looked at that team and he said, you know what, even though we look good on paper, we could figure it out in the second half.
Yeah.
But I just don't feel that we're that team. And it's not a, oh good, Mike Hazen was right and Nick Ahmed is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that at all. To me, it's just, at least we know that this general manager, we can still have faith that he evaluates in as unbiased of a way as possible.
I just don't think that this team was built for a 60 game sprint type of season. I mean, it doesn't, at least, I mean, they don't reflect that they were. They're one of the worst teams in baseball right now. They're probably going to have a top 10, top 5 pick in the MLB draft next year,
which I did not want or expect.
Correct. So, great, we get a guy that
you're
be
okay
here
with
five
it.
Years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, you could have also made the argument that, you know, this season is so weird in 2020 that you should have maybe just done nothing at the trade deadline and brought these guys back next year and see what happens. And if it doesn't work out, then you trade them at the trade deadline next year.
Let me ask you this, Bear. Well, because Robbie Ray was going to be a free agent after the season.
Don't Starling bring him
Marte
back.
Could have potentially been a free agent after the season. They wouldn't have gotten anything for those guys.
Chafin was a free agent, too.
That's
no,
right.
I agree with what they did at the deadline.
Right. No,
not as much for Starling Marte, but for Robbie and Chafin, for sure. Definitely.
At least Marte got the biggest.
Right. And he should have. He's the best player, and he is under team control for next year. So, yeah, I have no problem with what Mike Hazen did. And honestly, but more power to him, because if they don't believe in this team as they constructed it, then why bother? You know, why bring them back? Why waste another season if they don't think these guys that they put together this year are going to get it done? I kind of applaud Mike Hazen for what they did.
Let's be honest. Let's be 100% honest. We've looked at the numbers. We looked at Archie's numbers. We looked at Chafin's numbers. This team would not have been plus numbers based on the way that this last stretch of 20 games has gone.
Yeah.
These guys weren't the key to their victories, and losing them was the reason why it's kind of spiraled out of control.
Right.
I will say that, yes, they probably would have won some more games. They probably wouldn't have had their bullpen blow as many situations. They could have used Chafin and Archie. I don't think either one of them, with even how bad they were at times this season, would have done as badly as we've seen at times out of this bullpen. But let's credit them with what? 4 more wins? So they are 6-14 instead of 2-18.
You know,
that's not worth not trading those guys at the trade deadline. I personally think that there's a lot of inconsistency throughout all of those guys except Starling Marte.
Mm-hmm.
Marte was the only one that has proven to not only be a great ball player, but to be a different kind of person who was able to overcome the tragedy of losing his wife like he did over the offseason and still come into this season focused enough to be putting up the numbers that he is putting up and doing the things that he's done. I can't imagine returning back to work after that, and I can't imagine being the same person that I was prior to something like that happening.
And he considered retiring as well. So he thought of not playing baseball.
Right, which is, again, that's your mindset being in a different zone of basically saying I'm done with this part of my life because I don't think I can still do it now that I've experienced this, you know, loss. I feel like that's a different kind of player. If anything, yes, I would have liked to see them keep Marte and you know, try to, I don't know. I mean, more so than just the fact that he was producing and was a good an offensive player and a great defense player in the outfield, I give him that stability for a little while so that he can, you know, kind of have a chance to overcome what he went through with a little bit more stability. I get, though, why they did what they did, especially seeing this stretch. Archie and Chafin were both crazy, crazy inconsistent throughout their careers. At times they showed, you know, signs of being brilliant and then would immediately just kind of sink back down into this mediocre to unreliable area where, you know, like Chafin came into ballgames as of late and I held my breath. You know, I took a look at my article that kind of had a tone of the winning the game and was a little worried that I was going to have to do a lot of rewriting, you know, that kind of thing. There's those situations where you just can't rely on either one of those guys to be locked down. And it's not like they got the short amount of time that like Marte got.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen them for years and we've seen them be sporadic and inconsistent for years. I'm kind of okay with them moving on from Ray and Chafin and Bradley at this point. It sucks because they were really good guys. I mean, all three of those guys were an absolute joy to be around. Chafin is the consummate cowboy. He was like that every single day. Like the way that you think he is, that's exactly how he is. You know, pickup trucks and, you know,
horses and boots and
the whole time, like all the time. There's never a time where he wasn't. He'd tell us sometimes him and Zach Godley would have these crazy conspiracy theories they'd tell us, and we'd just sit back and be like, wow, like it was really fun to be around these guys. You know, Archie obviously being the leader he was, it's a tough loss there. You know, this team going in the direction that it has gone isn't surprising, with especially the leadership that they lost of Bradley and Ray. It's just time for them to start doing something different. You know, I think that's it. This team has dwindled in mediocrity for so long that you can't accept another season of going 500 and 500. That's a long season. You know, going what, 30 for 30, and you know, maybe getting one of the playoff spots. But who cares if you're just going to lose in the playoff? You know, the wild card playoff or whatever. You know, like. It seems like they take these small victories at time without actually improving the team in the dramatic way that it needs to be improved in order to be a World Series contender.
You're right that the team did sell low on Robbie Ray and Andrew Chafin, which I think we're all in agreement that that's okay.
They had no choice.
They got the best of all those guys' careers, which is fine. You know what's funny? I went back and did some digging on numbers of Andrew Chafin and Archie Bradley. Because I was asking myself the question, which one was the better Diamondback, Andrew Chafin or Archie Bradley? And I'm interested to see what you guys think of that, but I'll tell you right off the bat, Andrew Chafin is better statistically in his time with the Diamondbacks in almost every way than Archie Bradley was. And I say that, you know, like traditional statistics. I'm not getting way too analytical, but, you know, like better ERA, better whip, all these things. And it made me think back because Andrew Chafin's been around for quite a while. He's been in his bullpen for a long time, and longer than Archie even. And with Archie's expectations that were heaped on him by fans, by possibly the organization when he was first starting out and was the top pitching prospect, the top starting pitching prospect in baseball at one point, I'm not saying he's a bust. I think Archie still carries a lot of value, especially for the Reds now. But looking back, statistically, Andrew Chafin might have been the better pitcher.
I mean, and that could have a lot to do with the fact that Archie was a starter for the most part.
He went through a lot. Got hit in the face at one point.
Yeah, and Chafin, I believe, has always been in the bullpen. So he's a lefty, so back before this dumb rule existed where you can only... You have to face three batters. He was probably brought in a lot to just face one guy.
A specialist.
Yeah, and then he would be out of the game. So I don't know.
Archie had a lot more innings, that's for sure.
I feel like, and obviously Archie had a lot more, a lot more like moments, if you will, for D-backs.
Sure.
I mean, obviously the triple in the 2017 wild card game, he grew that his big old beard and got an attitude and stuff like that.
He did the "This is our house" Dodgers game.
"This is our house" Dodgers when he walked off the field. That was all him. That was like our thing for the entire 27, at least from that game forward. At least that was
right.
So that's crazy though. I feel like Chafin though has just really struggled the last like 3 years.
Yeah,
and that's why we remember him that way.
Yeah, you're right. You're definitely right about that.
Come in and walk the lefty, and then that's it. Thank you.
Yeah. You know what was interesting, and Derek was kind of touching on this too, when you lose a guy like Starling Marte, I'll move over to that trade, you don't just lose the guy who was, quite frankly, your best hitter in your lineup this season, but Derek was mentioning the defense as well. You don't really have a center fielder on this team right now. So I brought this up on the last podcast, and I heard it as a rumor. I think it was on Twitter somewhere. But it was definitely not a set in stone thing, and apparently now it is, that Dalton Varsho is playing center field a lot.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how I felt about that. It kind of gave me flashbacks to Chris Owings and Chris Herman, a catcher playing center field, which is kind of what Varsho is. But
he's way more athletic than Chris Herman.
Yeah, let's watch it.
He is. No, he is. But you know what I mean, though? Like, it's a guy who wasn't supposed to be playing that position that all of a sudden is an everyday player at that position.
Listen to me. I said a lot of stupid things before this season started. I think one of them was that the Diamondbacks were going to win the National League West division.
I think you did say that, yeah.
You fool.
You fool. You idiot.
And right now, they're the only one in the division not making the playoffs.
You didn't believe it even then, but you said it anyway, you idiot. But the one
Mr.
person
Hot
that makes
take.
Me look, Yeah, the one person that makes me look smart is Dalton Varsho when I said he was going to have a breakout season.
Yeah.
This little man is amazing. I don't even mean to call him a little man because I'm sure he's taller than me, but he's just a fantastic ball player. You know, like the thing I like about him is he just has this kind of thing about him where you feel like Torrey could be like, hey, you good to go pitch in the seventh? And he'd be like,
yep.
Hell yes, I am.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's what it feels like. It feels like.
Only if the heart of the lineup's coming up.
Yeah. Only if you let me strike these MFers out, you know, like that kind of thing, right? Because it just feels like he is this ball player that will play anything, do anything.
But are you ready to make him the everyday center fielder?
Oh no, that's a terrible idea.
They might not.
You'll have any other options.
They might. Yeah, they might not have a choice anymore because Ketel Marte is now on the injured list.
Right, 10-day injured list for Marte. Bear speculated before we got on air that's probably going to be the end of his season, and I agree with that.
Honestly,
there's 7 games left.
Honestly,
after that 10
yeah.
day.
I don't want to see him again, to be honest with you. I mean, the D-backs, they're not officially mathematically eliminated yet, but they're not making the playoffs. They're just not. I'm sorry, but this team isn't playing. They've lost 18 of their last 20 games.
Yeah,
you're
not stepping out onto a tree branch.
And when you have Ketel Marte now, who is dealing with a wrist injury, I mean, who knows how long he's been dealing with that wrist problem. It could be a reason why his power numbers are down this year, but I don't want to risk bringing him back for 7 games just to finish the season.
I mean, the Kelly Oubre thing.
Yeah, it's.
Why would you come back if you can only play 4 games?
It's disappointing that this, if they don't bring him back, that this would be the second straight year he ends the season on the injured list. That's disappointing because he's your best player. But honestly, this team is so bad and they're so out of it right now, even though they're not officially eliminated. Why bother? Why risk anything else? Honestly, I don't want to see Escobar anymore either. I don't want to see Peralta anymore either,
even when healthy.
Whoa.
I don't know.
They'll sit him. I don't want to see Bumgarner anymore.
I want to see Jake Lamb play every day.
Whoa.
Play every
Whoa.
Said no one ever.
Bears broken. By the way,
they've broken me.
Dalton Varsho is the first visiting player to hit his first major league home run directly into McCovey.
That
Cove.
Is fascinating to me.
Yep, it was the 51st. Home run into McCovey Cove.
How long have they been playing there?
A while. 2002?
Is that right?
Yeah.
Something like that?
That was Barry Bonds' favorite place to hit.
So we're talking like 15 to 20 years.
I'll look it up.
Wow. Yeah.
He's the first to hit one into McCovey Cove since Ender Inciarte in 2014.
Well, okay, so a couple things about that. You pretty much have to be left-handed to hit it into the Cove, right?
Correct, yes.
Pretty much. I mean, I'm sure some players could probably get the ball out there, but
the Giants started playing there in 2000.
So 20 years.
20 years.
So I guess that eliminates most hitters. I mean, the majority of hitters are right-handed, I'm guessing. If not, it's probably 50-50.
Mm.
So you're eliminating half of baseball right there.
It's hard to do. You're on the water with the wind.
No way is it 50-50. Yeah,
and
exactly.
And then the chances of your first home run happening against a specific team is not one in 30.
The other reason I really like Dalton Varsho too, he smoked that ball into the Cove. He pulled it. And then his second career home run, he goes the opposite field at Chase Field and hits the foul pole. Mm-hmm. I'm like, this kid, and we were talking about this before, Derek was really giddy about it, how they kept shifting on him, and he bunted on the shift. No one ever does
so
that.
Much.
They're like, I'm going to hit it over the shift. Screw that
There's
guy.
There's honor. There's the unwritten rules. Nah, you're not going to shift
rules.
On me.
Oh,
I'll bunt on you every time. I'll make you learn your lesson.
I don't
feels
care.
Like something Tatis would do.
Yes. Yeah, well, and then get yelled at.
I'm not
at
comparing
by
him to
the
best
bench.
Player in baseball yet, but it sounds like something Fernando Tatis.
I don't know. I
no,
think that's
Fernando
an accurate
Tatis.
Comparison. I would put him in the neighborhood.
Fernando Tatis will just hit a grand slam with no one on base.
Right. Yeah. Definitely.
How does he do these things? I don't get it.
I think we're all on the same page. Like, this team is about as bad as they can get at this point.
I don't
feel good about anything. Even the one thing we did feel good about was Zach Gallen, and then this week he blew his streak of starts without giving more than three earned runs. So he finally gave up, 4?
Yeah.
But the last one came on a walk from a relief pitcher who came in to spell him, so that is just like the complete microcosm of this season right now.
Also, and then on the flip side of that trade, Jazz Chisholm hit his first home run.
Yeah. He made a great diving play last week.
He did.
He did.
Really, really good.
The Arizona Diamondbacks are tied with the Boston Red Sox for the second worst record in the league. MLB. The only team with a worse record are the Pittsburgh Pirates at 14-27.
And remember, there was a week where the Diamondbacks were the hottest team in baseball.
Yes.
A full, 10 days that they did
that. The Diamondbacks are 15-29. They are tied with the Boston Red Sox for second worst record in Major League Baseball.
That's awful.
The Rangers have technically a better record. They have the same amount of wins, but they have two less losses. Okay. They're 15-27, and the Pirates are 14-27.
My gosh. You know what's funny? Before the season, we talked about the schedule.
Nothing's funny.
No, I find this interesting. Before the season started, we talked about how the Diamondbacks play the Padres a ton. I mean, they play everybody in their division the same, I guess. But we talked about how they played the Padres early and often, and we talked about how that might be an advantage for them to get hot early. And now the Padres are the surprise team in baseball.
The Giants, too, honestly.
Yeah, but Giants have been good, too. I mean, like I said, I think it was a couple days ago. I don't know if this is still true, but a couple days ago I tweeted this, that all of the teams in the NL West were, at that time, in the playoffs, except for the Diamondbacks.
Every team in the NL West besides the Diamondbacks have at least 20 wins. The Rockies are 20-23. They're the only other team that's below 500.
Yeah, I don't know if they're in the playoffs, if the season ended today. But a couple of days ago, that's the scenario we had in front of us. All of the teams in the division except the Diamondbacks were in. And that will aggravate me like no other.
The Giants will come down to earth. They got all those wins against the Diamondbacks. So, once they start playing other teams, we'll see what happens.
If the season ended today, the National League playoff matchups would be the Dodgers would be playing the Marlins. The Marlins are the 8th seed currently.
They'll shellac them.
The Braves would be playing the Giants. That's number 2 and number 7.
They'll dominate them.
This would be a good series. The Cubs and the Cardinals.
Ooh,
The 3rd seed and the 6th seed. And then the Padres and the Phillies would also be a good series.
That'd be fun.
Is that how it's going to break down? Because I was of the understanding that these are all wild card teams. So it almost felt like these teams are going to have to play each other first.
I'm reading an article right now that said that on MLB.com, it's their playoff picture.
Okay.
That was updated today.
See, that's cool. That's cool to me. I would much rather it be a breakdown like that, like your traditional tournament bracket that we see in hockey and
basketball. Also, there's reports going around today that MLB and the union, the Players Association, are finalizing a playoff bubble structure.
Oh, good.
Where it's so weird too. So the way I understood it was the NL playoffs would be held in the Minute Maid Park, the home of the Astros, and the Texas Rangers' new field, which is ugly. I'll just say it right now.
The shed.
The George Foreman Grill.
The George Foreman Grill, the meat packing plant. I laughed at my own. The sheet metal factory. So the NL playoffs would be there, and the AL playoffs are going to be at Dodger Stadium and Petco Park in San Diego.
Wait, so the first one you said Houston and Dallas.
Yeah, so Texas and California. Yeah,
okay.
They're having two locations in each.
Wow. Okay.
And then I believe I can't remember where the championship series games are being played, but
those are going to be in a different place.
No, they're using the same four stadiums, but they're taking away a couple. And I believe the World Series is going to be played at the Texas Rangers Stadium, which is annoying.
Was it already scheduled to be?
It's ugly
this year.
The World Series.
No, that's not how the World Series.
Sorry,
works.
That's the All Star game. My bad.
No, they're just splitting it from.
I thought it was like the Super Bowl for a second. I was like, wait, because normally you don't assign any stadium.
Yeah, but they're doing a bubble. They're trying to do a bubble. They're trying to copy the NBA is basically what's happening.
Are they? No, but are they really not going to travel for the World Series?
That doesn't look like it if that's what this plan is.
I think they should. Even though there's no fans.
Why?
I think they should.
Why?
Because they're already doing it.
Okay, that's valid enough.
They're already traveling.
I think their thought process is by the time the championship comes around, I think what it will be is that later in the fall, where it's supposed to be kind of a return of the coronavirus. So I think they're just trying to be proactive about that, limit it then as much as possible.
Oh, I get it. I'm just saying, if they're going to, if the Seattle Mariners have to fly here to Arizona today to face the Diamondbacks, what's the difference between that and the Dodgers having to fly to, I don't know, who else is going to make the World Series? The Yankees? What's the difference? It's just a little bit longer of a flight. They're already traveling. Let's just keep doing that.
I don't have an answer for you.
I didn't agree with the traveling to begin with.
Nobody does.
I didn't agree with it to begin with, but if we're already doing it, why change now? I guess I'm happy with the bubble. I shouldn't complain about that. I think they should have been doing that all along.
Yeah, why should we wear masks, Steve?
So, honestly, the winners here are the Texas Rangers because I'll just go through. I found it. It's a story from Bob Nightingale of USA Today. And he says the American League postseason will shift to Dodger Stadium in L.A. and Petco Park in San Diego for the two division series, with Petco Park hosting the best of seven American League Championship Series, the ALCS.
Good, because that park is awesome.
So then the NL postseason will be played at Globe Life Field, which is the home of the Rangers, and Minute Maid Park in Houston. The NLCS will be played at Globe Life Field to the Texas Ranger Stadium, and they will host the World Series. Wow, that's a lot for them.
Why do I feel like Dallas gets everything?
Because they do.
They get the college football playoff. They
also
get the Super Bowl.
They might have fans at this because
Texas
open. I think Jerry Jones, from the owner of the Cowboys, I think they're going to have fans at their football games.
Oh, boy. Well, baseball can decide not to.
But if they're, if they're trying to do a bubble, then no, they will not have fans.
Yeah, they won't have fans, no.
I don't know. It's
I don't.
So weird.
We're all doomed.
Oh, and guys, we have some late breaking news in the Ain't No Fang podcast. This just coming down.
Okay, the D-backs. They've tweeted this out. The D-backs have selected infielder/outfielder Paven Smith from the alternate training site, and designate Jake Lamb for assignment.
There it is.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
God.
Wow.
I never thought that would happen.
It actually happened.
It happened.
Wow.
Maybe this isn't the darkest timeline.
Derek, just kind of out of the blue, what are your thoughts?
My thoughts are kind of the same from earlier as what we said about Archie and Chafin. I think we were all ready to move on from Jake Lamb. I feel like he has been somebody that has been given a number of chances for this team and just hasn't been right in years. You know, it's this weird thing. It's kind of like what we say sometimes about players on a World Series team, where they get kind of like more credit than they might deserve just because they had a good season with a team that went on to win the World Series. So then next thing you know, their value is skyrocketed, even though they're still not that much better than potentially your average player. I feel like Jake Lamb has basically ridden the wave of his success from a few years ago for a extended period of time now. I hope he finds another team and can find success. I don't wish anything bad upon the guy. It's long overdue.
Yeah, it seems like this wasn't just a spur of the moment thing, because literally 2 minutes ago the Diamondbacks tweeted out, "So many smiles, so many memories. Thank you, Jake."
Well, when
just like they gave him the same pictures the other guys got when they got traded.
But when they make moves, they go to the social media team and everything, and they tell them before they make it public,
sure,
so that they can put these things together. I mean, who knows how long it took them to come to this decision.
I agree with what Derek said. It's unfortunate that Jake Lamb fell so far and spiraled so far down, because we talked about with Robbie Ray in 2017, the first half of 2017, he was an all-star. And I thought, wow, we have Paul Goldschmidt and Jake Lamb at the corners of the infield right now. Okay, great, we're set. And then Jake Lamb gets hurt and he's never the same again. And honestly, I don't even know why he was tendered a contract in 2020. They had a chance to non-tender him before the season started and they didn't do it. They did it with Taijuan Walker and a couple other guys and sent those guys on their way. But Jake Lamb was still here. I didn't understand really why he hasn't performed at a high level in 3 years. So yeah, I agree with Derek. It's long overdue. It's unfortunate that it had to end on such a bad note for Jake Lamb, But I mean, yeah, it's time to move on from him for sure.
His time with the team is really just marred by injuries.
Sure.
I mean, like, he didn't play well with the, I don't think he's that good of a hitter for a guy who is known as a hitter. I mean, he was never known for defense. That was never a thing. I mean, they moved him from third to first.
I mean, watching him play third, I always said he's going to get Paul Goldschmidt hurt one day over how many times he threw up the line and Goldschmidt had to make a play coming off the bag and tag the runner. I was always nervous about his defense, but yeah.
Well, look at his this line that they put at the end of the email, about the end of the press release. Lamb, 29 years old, appeared in 596 games, so about 600 games, in seven seasons. And he hit .239, not good. He had 81 home runs, which divided by seven, I'm thinking that's just north of like 10 or 11 home runs a year, and 300 RBIs or so. He had 303. So, I mean, really, if you do the math and kind of average it all out, Jake Lamb was not a stellar player. That first half of 2017 was awesome, but he just never repeated it. A lot like Robbie Ray in 2017, never repeated that. Archie Bradley had a killer 2017, never repeated that. So it's just kind of feels like like they're moving on from the old Diamondbacks and they're bringing up the new ones.
Meanwhile, it's going to be exciting to see Pavin Smith, who was Mike Hazen's first ever first round pick as the GM of the D-backs. So, and he in 2019 he was named to the postseason All-Star team after having a pretty good year in Double A. So it'll be interesting to see what he's got. I'm excited for him.
I think it's just a matter of, you know, the Diamondbacks gave all of these guys that they built their franchise around at one point, an opportunity, more than one opportunity, mm-hmm. several opportunities for them to return to the talent that they saw at one point. You're never, you know, you can't deny that these guys are all talented and at one point were all stars and had something significant to offer. It just, you know, it's like a lot of things in sports, you know, the teams that kind of cannot hold on emotionally to guys for too long and can continue to rebuild their team and do things that are going to upset the fan base from time to time because these guys become fan favorites are the teams that are the most successful, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've talked about the cold-hearted nature of like the Yankees and such at times, but really that's what it comes down to, is running a baseball team successfully and trying to win, you know, win and at all times.
I think it's
you know, a good move for them to finally part ways with Jake.
Well, and it's important to note, I mean, we're all talking about it like he's gone. It's important to note that when you DFA a player, especially a veteran like him, he is not gone yet. It means that he's available to all 30 teams, well, the 29 other teams. And I'm assuming nobody's going to pick him up, so he'll probably be available to the Diamondbacks. I just don't know. It doesn't mean that he's guaranteed to leave. It's like Eldemar Vargas got DFA'd earlier in the season.
Right.
Historically, I'm thinking back, correct me if you guys think of an example off the top of your head, but thinking back, all the players that I remember Mike Hazen's regime DFAing, you know, I look back at Zach Godley, there was Matt Cook, a couple other guys, you get DFA'd, they typically don't bring those players back. Yasmani Tomas, I think, got DFA'd in order for them to clear him off the 40-man.
Mm-hmm.
So historically, they don't bring a lot of those guys back, even if they do remain with the organization. Vargas got picked up elsewhere. They ended up trading him, actually, for cash instead of letting the Twins pick him up. So
he got DFA'd again, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah, by the Twins.
Well, he's on
some of the Cubs, I think, now.
Cubs, yeah, I think I saw that. So Jake Lamb is not gone per se, but he is definitely being shown the door.
I don't think anyone's going to want to pick up a guy who has five hits on the season and is batting .116.
Oof. No.
He is 5-43.
Yeah, it's really
5-43.
Doesn't really have a good defensive position.
No.
For a DH, he doesn't hit.
He's the designated person.
Has never hit lefties, and quite frankly hasn't touched righties this year, so I don't know what
he can't play baseball.
I've said it before. Yeah, well, I've been saying that for a long time.
I hate to pile on the guy, but
show me a more handsome guy on the team, you know.
That's fair. That's fair. He's a good looking dude.
Come on, let's
he's a good looking dude. I mean, listen, this is what it is. I think this is another step in the molding of this team into a new regime, not a new regime, a new era a new crop of D-backs baseball.
They've kind of moved on from the guys. Everyone looks back to the 2017 team, right?
Yeah.
They've pretty much moved on from that team. The only guys left on from that team, I believe, are Nick Ahmed and Ketel Marte.
David Peralta.
David Peralta.
And David Peralta. I believe that's it.
That's all I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those guys are the only ones left from that era.
Yeah. It's definitely
I think it stinks because a lot of those guys like Archie were fan favorites, and who knows what other moves they make this offseason, but I think it's good for this team who hasn't had success since then to kind of go in a different direction.
So even though it may be tough to watch for a little while, it may not be the easiest thing in the world to watch a Diamondbacks game now, because in the short term, they may not be too good. Keep an eye on the young players, because that's what we're going to be doing as well here on the Ain't No Fang podcast. As it appears, we are headed for a new era. I'm Steve Zinsmeister with Derek Montilla and Cody Fincher as well. We thank you for listening to the Ain't No Fang podcast at ArizonaSports.com and on the Arizona Sports app.